When I was in grade school, in about the fourth or fifth grade, my mom and dad surprised me at Christmas and gave me what was absolutely the coolest bike in town. And, of course, I rode it to school every single day, and they got me with the bike a nice combination lock so that I could keep it safe. And so I got to school, and one day I got ready to go home, and I couldn't get the lock open. And the person in our little Catholic school who was the greatest juvenile delinquent of the town came up to me and said, "What's the combination? I'll be glad to try to open it for you." And even at that tender age, I was not foolish enough to give him the combination to my cool bike, because I knew that would mean he would take my bike whenever he wanted to, because he'd already done it when I had forgotten to lock it. I'm not falling for that. I'm not giving you the combination because I don't trust you. It sounds obvious not to give something precious to the untrustworthy, but we do it in much greater terms every single day. Our consumer culture has trained us to give away the combination to all that is precious to us. We give access to our resources of money and time and generosity and depth to all manner of persons and interests who will use that access against us for their benefit, not for ours. And all the while they're saying, "Give me the combination. I'll try to help you." Pushing back against that force in human nature, we have the Beatitudes. These are admonitions that help to bring us back to safety, to where our hearts are secure, where no one can steal what is so precious to us in our human lives. The Beatitudes, the material that we have in the Gospel today, teach us to value what is eternal above what is temporal, to not place the gift of self-esteem and significance into the hands of those who claim our best interests but really care only for their own. The Beatitudes try to teach us one paradoxical but very important truth, and that truth is this: the more I focus on my own happiness, the less likely I am to find lasting and deep happiness. We are learning in today's gospel and throughout our tradition about the value of generosity of spirit. That thought turns the world upside down. In the Beatitudes, we hear it proclaimed: "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh." If we give to others, if we turn the world upside down, we are much more likely to find great joy. And this is a truth that we know. And human beings have always known it. In every tradition, in Christianity, we call it the golden rule: do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But something very, very similar is found in almost every religion. In Judaism, in Islam, in Buddhism, in Brahmanism, Confucianism, Hinduism, Jainism. This is not a Christian instinct or understanding of truth, but a human one. It is not just a way of pleasing God, but a way of finding peace for ourselves. And it's something we've always known, but we forget with all the pressure we get from marketers and from politicians and from other people just in our individual lives who need something from us and try to convince us that our giving it to them is for our benefit. Eric Fromm, psychologist, has said that greed and peace preclude each other. I'm not sure I'm really talking about greed so much as just this training that we have received at the hands of our culture to value material things as markers of significance. This reading that we have today is not about what God needs from us, but about what we need to find meaning in this world. If we can ever focus on giving to others in God's name, that giving away will finally convince us that we've had enough all along, that we are enough. In these admonitions, Jesus is not just telling us what happiness looks like, but what blessedness looks like. Because happiness implies, at least to me, something that's superficial and transitory, something that may be taken away, but blessedness is something deep and abiding. But we live in a consumer culture, and it is all built on the disproven premise that we find happiness by focusing on our wants above others' needs. The message of Jesus pushes back. In John 15, Jesus says, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you." Of course, we don't want to be hated and vilified. So we play along. Instinct, again, taught to us by those who want access to what is precious to us, our instinct is to get more for myself. Because then I'll be happier. To protect myself by getting more. And yet, that instinct results in our giving access to our very souls, to every marketer and promise maker that comes along. They convince us we never have enough. They convince us that even when we have everything, we need the next new thing. It is one of the great paradoxes of the human circumstance that we find greatest happiness and joy for ourselves when we focus on helping others. Jesus has come to us and turned the world upside down. He says, "You are not to be of this world. Don't give yourself away to everyone who promises you something of significance." The world says, "Give us the combination. We'll help you if you let us in." And Jesus whispers back, "Blessed are you. Blessed are those who resist trusting the fleeting promises of the world. Blessed are those who know what truly lasts."